of Christ the King. And the gospel story is taken from the crucifixion of Jesus. And obviously in this story, there's three main characters. Jesus, and then the good thief on his right who was crucified, and also the other thief on his left who was crucified. We don't know the name of the thief who's on his left side, but tradition tells us that the name of the thief on his right side, his name was Dismas. And so today I'd like to share with you the story of Dismas. It's a fascinating story. It's only a legend, but it's been handed down now for 2,000 years, and I'm sure there's some sort of kernel of truth at the core of this story. But the story of Dismas begins with the birth of Jesus. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as you know, King Herod sent his army to try to find the child Jesus and have him put to death. But God warned St. Joseph in a dream that this was about to happen and he should take the baby and his mother and flee into Egypt. So Joseph immediately got up that night, made some simple preparations, put Mary and Jesus on a donkey, and off they went into Egypt. Now, Egypt could only be reached by crossing a vast desert wilderness. And tradition tells us that sometimes the Holy Family suffered from hunger and thirst. Other times they suffered from the sun, the heat of the day. Other times it was the cold at night. At times they had to stay and sleep overnight exposed to the elements outside. It was not an easy journey. It was very difficult. But one night, after being many days on the journey, they reached a very deserted area just before leaving Israel. And in that deserted area, it was known that bandits and other criminals would be sometimes hiding from the authorities in the caves, the vast number of caves that were there and the gullies and the valleys that was in that area. And in fact, one gang of thieves apparently was already looking at the Holy Family from their lookout as they were approaching. And then at the opportune moment, they finally descended upon the Holy Family in order to rob them and maybe even kill them, as was the custom back then. However, tradition tells us that when the leader saw Mary and the baby Jesus up close, some grace stirred in his heart. For some strange reason, he felt deeply moved. So he told the other members of his, the other bandits of his gang, not to harm this family. And then, to everyone's surprise, he invited the Holy Family back to his shelter to dine with him and to spend the night there. And when they arrived, the robber told his wife how strangely his heart had been very moved when he saw this mother and this child, that there was something special about them, but he didn't know what it was. So the woman brought the Holy Family some food to eat, and after they had eaten, Our Lady asked for some water, a little tub of water, so she could wash the baby Jesus in the water, get off all the desert sand and dirt and dust. So the woman brought a little tub of water, and the woman and her husband watched as Mary tenderly bathed the baby Jesus, how Joseph was lovingly attentive and helping. And they were just really deeply moved by the charm and the beauty and the love and goodness of this family. And at a certain moment, the robber whispered to his wife, and he said, "Ask the lady if we can bathe our son in the water that she bathed her baby in. Maybe it'll help our son." And so Our Lady heard this request, so she told the woman to go get her boy. And so she brought the boy, and the boy was already suffering terribly with leprosy. He was already disfigured and had this disease for quite a while. But as as his mother washed the boy in the bath water that Jesus had bathed in, a miracle happened, and the scabs fell off the boy. His skin was restored, and he was healed. And so the robber and his wife were overjoyed, and amazement filled the whole valley there. And so the next day, the Holy Family continued their journey to Egypt, and the bandit and his gang accompanied them to make sure they got safely to the border of Egypt. And apparently tradition says that all this took place in what we call Gaza, the area of Gaza, the Gaza Strip. Now, fast forward to 30 years to today's reading. Today's reading is 30 years later. Jesus, as we know, Scripture says, grew in wisdom and in grace. He fulfilled and was fulfilling his Father's will, and he was now dying on the cross. And the robber's child, the boy who had been healed of leprosy, he also grew in those past 30 years, but he grew in a life of crime and sin because of the environment, I guess, that he was in. And now that boy was Dismas, hanging on the cross on the right side of Jesus. And at one point, Dismas looked down, and he saw, apparently tradition says, and he saw Mary beneath the cross of Jesus. And and something stirred inside of him, that face. He had seen that face somewhere before. She was obviously in great pain and distress, but yet beneath all those tear-filled eyes, he could see an exquisitely beautiful woman. And he could see that nobleness of her face, that peace, that resignation, and that incredibly kind, compassionate, tender eyes. He had seen that, never saw that anywhere else before, but once before in his life. He was trying to remember, and then suddenly it came to him that this was the lady who bathed her baby in that bath water, and that water had healed him of his leprosy when he was a little boy. And so then he realized that the person beside him was her baby, Jesus. And he knew this was her son. He knew he was innocent and good, and he knew that this was no ordinary man. And he knew they called him Son of God and King, and Dismas believed in his heart that Jesus really was who he said he was. And then suddenly, Dismas saw his own life and flashed before his eyes, and he saw the kind of life he led, a whole life in sin and crime and self-indulgence. And he knew he deserved to be on the cross. And he knew that that leprosy he had as a boy was nothing compared to the leprosy of his soul, the ugliness of his soul. But this man hanging beside him was no ordinary man. He had cleansed him once of his physical leprosy by bath water. Could he maybe cleanse his soul now by his blood? And so Dismas turns to Jesus and says, Lord, an act of faith, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so even though Dismas had completely messed up his life, and from a human point of view, it was a complete failure, and he was now dying on a cross, executed as a criminal, even though that this has happened, Jesus responds to this one act of faith, this one act of charity. Dismas defended the innocence of Jesus from the other thief. And Jesus says, this day, Dismas, you will be with me in paradise. And so we see Jesus forgive a lifetime of sin, accepts him with love, and gives him paradise. And so Dismas is now saved, he's redeemed, he's made whole, and he's being given eternal life. And so forever now, Dismas, the criminal and thief, will be remembered as Saint Dismas. He's part of the calendar of the church's saints. And Saint Dismas is the man who at the last moment stole the heart of God and stole the kingdom of heaven along with it, simply by turning to Jesus, accepting him with an act of faith and charity. And so I think the good news today is that no one should despair. No matter how evil or how bad our lives have been, nobody, as long as they're alive, nobody is beyond redemption. But because God delights in finding the lost. He delights in healing the wounded. He delights in forgiving the sinner. And he delights in sharing his love and friendship with those who turn to him. And I think the good news also is that no one should despair or become discouraged because their children or their grandchildren or their spouses or their parents or their friends are far from God. And after years of praying, they're still no closer to God, no change. Because many, many saints had that happen in their life. They prayed for years and years and years for a lost son, a lost daughter, or parent, or spouse. And because they did not stop, the loved ones did receive the grace of conversion at the last moment of life, just as St. Dismas did. And so in the history of the church, when you read the lives of the saints, this story of St. Dismas is repeated many times. To touch on the other character in this story, the other thief on the left side of Jesus, whose name we don't know, it's probably, I would think, in all likelihood, although we don't know for sure, he probably didn't make it. He's probably in hell. And I say this because he did not call on Jesus as Lord and Savior. He did not show any faith. Instead, at the last moment of his life, he challenged and derided Jesus and mocked him and his kingship. And so Jesus could do nothing for him. He remained silent, didn't say anything to him, could not do anything for him. And so the other thief, he died as an unredeemed criminal. And so basically he had chosen to live for himself alone, chosen to live life on his terms, chose to live apart from God, and that's how he ended up dying. And so ultimately, when you think of it, those are the only two choices that you and I have in life, the only two ultimate choices that follow us into eternity. And it is a choice that we have to make and renew every day because we don't know if today will be our last day. So we always, each day, need to renew our choice. And on the one hand, the one choice is that every day we could do what St. Dismas did and give ourselves to Jesus and say, Lord, remember me today. And say, Lord, I want you to reign in my mind as my king. So give me the grace to accept all the truths you've revealed to us. I want you to reign as king in my will. So give me the grace to live by all of God's moral laws. And I want you, Jesus, to reign as king in my heart. So give me the grace to love you above all other natural loves. I want to basically, Jesus, live my life with you and for you today. And when the time comes, to die with and for you. So that's the choice that St. Dismas made. Or we can choose each day to do what the other thief did, and that is just to ignore God in our day. Choose to live only for ourselves. Choose to decide for ourselves what is right or wrong, and then please ourselves. Choose, basically, to be our own king. But we can't save ourselves. We get nowhere that way. And so let us resolve each day to follow the example of St. Dismas. Give ourselves to Jesus each day. Seek to know and follow his will. Allow Jesus to be king of our lives. Because his kingship that he wants to share with us is simply a kingship of truth and of love and of goodness and of beauty and joy and life. Something that begins in our heart here on earth and then is perfected one day in the kingdom of heaven.